Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
What's cracking, people? It's Garbled Twistery, and what's going on? Oh yeah, let's check the agenda. There it is! We are taking a long, hard look at a bunch of vice principal candle dates for the good old 1824 election. And who's our mark for today's examination? Why, it's a humble man who goes by the name of Billy Eustace. So join me as we determine whether this man deserves to be called Billy Eustace or Pretty Useless, shall we? Billy was born in some Cambridge town in Massachusetts. His father, Benjamin, was a popular doctor man. His mother was yet another human named Elizabeth. What can I say? It never gets old, I guess. He had like 11 siblings, a bunch who died, but Billy survived it all. And he went to a bougie Latin school, then went to bougie Harvard, like you'd expect someone from Cambridge, Massachusetts to freaking do. Oh, and there is something a little different he did when he was at Harvard. Yeah, Billy was part of a freaking after-school militia. Yeah, call me ignorant, but I had no idea colleges just had militias in their pocket. But whatever. As we can tell from Billy's time in the mathematician band, yeah, that's what the militia was called, our guy has an affinity for guns and stuff. Like, I'm certain this will come up later, but whatever. This dude graduates, then he studies medicine with Elizabeth Warren's great-great-great-grandpa, who was one of the New England Patriots. And then, when the Great American Temper Tantrum was kicked off over some Concord grapes, Billy and Elder Warren took to the field as medics. What a nice change of pace. Everybody else was shooting the guns while Billy was in charge of the band-aids. And of course, his mentor was able to get the boy a hotshot military surgeon job. The New England Patriots got connections, okay? When all that craziness was happening at Bunker Hill, Billy Eustace was there with the Band-Aid Brigade. He also went to New York and New Jersey to help out, refusing an increased wage from some hotshot war man named Henry Knox because Billy just cares for the cause that much. Oh, and it was during this time that Billy would meet his bestest friend. Who, you ask? That trifling Aaron Burr. Yeah, this could get interesting. Anyways, there was some trifling loyalist who was named Beverly Robinson, and his New York City house was turned into like a makeshift hospital or whatever, so they stuck Billy in there. And when that ridiculous Benedict Arnold nonsense was happening, Billy ended up winning Best Supporting Actor in the film where he takes care of Benedict Arnold's wife, Peggy, as she's going hysterical over this entire trying to sell West Point to England fiasco. My God, Benedict Arnold, what were you thinking? But I digress. The war ends, Billy starts doing regular old doctor stuff in Boston, which means he's obviously gonna be there with Jorge Washington for when all those Boston farmers have that wild rebellion that got out of hand because what even is tax reform? Oh, and Billy becomes the VP of
the Society of Cincinnati!
So yeah, this guy's a busybody, and not the usual kind of busybody, you feel me? I bet you're wondering how exactly our friend Billy got all involved in the political sphere. Well, the answer to that is very easily. You see, he was haphazardly tossed into the Massachusetts General Court, and he was there for like 6 years, but then Billy decided he couldn't do it anymore because, quote, "All y'all are fake, that's right, I'm calling you out," unquote. So yeah, he ended up just working directly with the freaking governor after that, and then he won himself a seat in the big boy House of Reps, beating one of the Quincy's from Bleach to do the job. Speaking of doing jobs, remember that crazy freaking conspiracy to use the military to usurp freaking Jorge Washington because he kept being a loser? Yeah, Billy Eustace either wrote some of the freaking conspiracy letters, even though he swears he didn't, or, at least, looked the other way when these mutinous letters were being passed around in the chemistry classroom. The most that Billy would actually admit to, though, was just being aware that the conspiracy existed. Make of that what you will. But whatever. Billy was a Democrat Republican, but he wasn't part of the hashtag radical squad, so to speak. Like when President Tommy J tried to straight up defuse that judicial bomb that the former Johnny A so cleverly planted right before leaving, Billy voted against Tommy because our guy cares about the balance of it all. Oh, and remember the other Quincy from Bleach, Johnny A's little tyke? Yeah, that man lost to Billy Eustace for the House of Reps seat. However, Billy did end up losing when said Quincy was like, "Yo, I said run it back, run it back!" But even that was a stupidly close race. Oh, and also, when Billy was in the House, he got assigned to help carry out, like, the first successful U.S. impeachment ever. Oh, don't worry. It was just obviously something that needed to happen because the judge of the New Hamptons District Court was going through a literal mental deterioration. Oh, and one more thing. Billy really wanted merchants to have guns because they were trading valuables. I mean, I'd be surprised if they didn't already do that, but pick battles you can win, I guess. Anyways, Billy Madison takes the throne, and he was all about trying to win over the New England Federalist snobs. So he went and made Billy Eustace the Secretary of War. This was a stupid freaking idea, because everyone and their grandma fought in the war, and Billy Madison chose the guy who was holding the band-aids. Yeah, it was a really hard time for Billy Eustace. He was yelling at generals and stuff, and he was just not qualified for the position, okay? Eustace tried, though. I mean, like, he saw that the tutorials for going to war were outdated and updated them so that the U.S. could fight like France was fighting, and my goodness, France was fighting. But the generals, being stubborn man-babies, just completely ignored this attempt to help. Billy also tried to casually brace everybody for war on the DL when things are turning sour with the tea sippers again, but he really didn't do enough, because when the second Great American Temper Tantrum started, the U.S. military was a hot freaking mess, and Billy ended up having to make very detailed military decisions for 9 different districts because it didn't even occur to this band-aid man to maybe get a commander to work under him. That's like standard practice. Billy, you buffoon! Literally everybody dragged this guy to filth for this utter failure, and he had to resign from his job he had no business even having to begin with. Oh. And who replaced him? Man Ray was a substitute teacher until they could get Strong Arm Johnny in there. Always reliable, Strong Arm Johnny. Anyways, after the fail of the year, Billy Madison was like, "Alright, dude, I'm gonna give you some busy work now and make you the ambassador to the Netherlands or whatever so you can shake off that L." But it wasn't like a completely useless job, especially considering how the continent of Syrup has used the Netherlands as like a neutral ground for high stakes negotiations under the table. But then again, it was still a pretty useless position because Napoleon got his butt whooped, so there wasn't much need for the Dutch potato farmers to be mediators anymore. Apparently, people were saying that Neapolitan Ice Cream's little brother Louis stole a bunch of U.S. merchant ships while he was ruling the Kingdom of Hollywood, but Billy really couldn't get to the bottom of it at the time. However, the baguette eaters did eventually fess up to it later. Billy also joined the American Anti-Aquarium Society, because of course he did. And he also tag-teamed with Mr. Gelatinous to get a new trade deal going with the Dutch potato farmers, and that went smoothly. But I mean, eventually, Billy got fired from this job too, because he wasn't even good at talking like a baguette. So the Dutch stopped sending their ambassador and started sending some messenger boy instead, because the US was wasting their time because they weren't good enough at speaking French. Was that petty? Absolutely. But petty is the name of the game in diplomatic relations. But hey, at least Billy got to hang out with his casual buddy, the Marquise de Lafsalot. So yeah. He comes back from Syrup, by some mansion in Boston. Some Congress dude named Edward Dow Jones was resigning, and Billy was able to nab his spot. He led the committee on U.S. military affairs because I guess he didn't learn his lesson the first time. And when the whole slavery in Missouri or not fiasco was happening, Billy straight up yelled at everybody. I have the speech right here. Quote, "The black people that are free are citizens just like everybody else. We're already stomaching your dumb slavery nonsense, so the fact that you are really trying to prevent free black citizens from living where they want by moving to Missouri is hashtag pathetic." Unquote. Billy tried to be the governor of Massachusetts like 3 times, but kept losing to a Federalist because it's Massachusetts. What did you expect would happen? He did eventually win, though, and he was running against, like, a multi-millionaire that nobody liked that time, so it got, like, really ugly. And this win can actually be seen as, like, the tangible beginning of the true end of the Federalist Party. Because at this point, if they can't even hold on to New England, then they don't exist. And he seems to be doing a real good job as governor, surprisingly. And he hired Levi Lincoln's kid to help him out, too. But before we end it here, I bet you're in want of some personal life juicy details, because we love that stuff around here. Remember how I said Billy was BFFs with Aaron Burr? Yeah, I meant it. They wrote whole letters to each other talking about which girls they liked and stuff. Billy even helped Aaron with the whole situation where Alexandre Hammy Tammy was committing an adultery and the daughter of the lady he was adultering with needed to be sent to a boarding school. Aaron Burr's daughter also might have had a crush on Billy because she was a real open book in her letters to him. So yeah. Billy was about that bachelor life for a good while. I mean, he did eventually put a ring on someone, but they didn't have kids. So that's the story of Billy Eustace, a man who was completely useless for like half of the job positions he had, but still managed to stick around somehow? I mean, maybe it's this man's ability to stick around in spite of his utter failures that makes him VP material. Okay. Maybe not, but you never know. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, Turkish Delight, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to Patreon and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. And the current bonus in the works is about artsy card games. Yum. Anyways, next time, it's another VP candidate for 1824, and it's a guy I never even heard of before. Why, yes, it's Eraserhead. What? You heard me get excited.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Bestest friend.